Hello, my name's Emma. I'm interviewing you on behalf of Wellcome Trust on One Another. It's the 21st of September 2009 and it's 17 minutes past 12 a.m. Can I please ask you for your name, date of birth, and where you come from?
Charlotte Barrett. My date of birth is 7th of March 1979 and I live in Leicester.
How do you feel now, actually?
Nervous. Excited nervous, though, rather than just scared nervous.
How did you find out about the project?
I think I saw it on the BBC News website before they started advertising for people to go on it, and I read about it there and emailed in to say, contact me when you can actually apply, and thought it was quite interesting.
What was it about it that made you want to take part?
Well, I saw some interactive art, and I can't actually remember who did it, but it was all about downloading things onto your iPod and then going to a certain place in New York and wearing a certain colour t-shirt, and then at a certain time you started your iPod and listened to the instructions. And I think they had about 250 people all doing the same kind of thing in these different coloured t-shirts, and I thought, that looks so interesting, if I got the opportunity to do it I would. So that was the main reason why I thought I want to do it, because it's an opportunity, you've got to take it sometimes.
How did you feel when you found out you had a place?
Excited and again a little bit hesitant. Then I wasn't sure if I actually wanted to do it for a little bit, and then I actually put it on Facebook and asked everyone, should I do it, and they all said yes, so I couldn't really then go back on it.
Like, tell me what you're going to do up there.
I'm going to dress up as a rat. Basically we go to Carnival in Venice, or we did in 2008, and after our previous visit to Venice we realised that you can kind of get away with almost anything there, and so we dressed up as rats and caused havoc for a week while we were there and had loads of fun. And we always said we would go snowboarding with rat masks on, or Hamelin hold a big Pied Piper festival, and we nearly went to that this year as well. And then I thought, well, you know, what else am I going to do if I stand on the plinth? I should really dress up as a rat, because we should be getting everywhere.
Where did the rat thing come from?
The first time we went to Carnival, we went very traditional. I'm sort of part of a group of people, we all like to take part in things rather than just going and watching. And we had sat down at the end of our visit, the night before we were about to leave, and we said, if we come back in 2 years, what do we do next? Because we'd seen what we could actually almost get away with. And we went through everything, we thought about all sorts of costumes that we could go in as a group, which would have a lot of impact. And we'd read about canal rats in Venice from a book we'd picked up from Florin's coffee shop, and thought, well, we could do rats. We know the right people in the right places to make parts of the costume, and so why don't we do that? And we did.
How many of you are there?
There were 16 of us in Venice all at the same time.
And what kind of group is it?
Well, a lot of us have a background in live action role play, which is a bit like Dungeons and Dragons, but instead of sitting around and rolling dice, you actually hit each other with a rubber sword. It's very interactive and it's a lot of fun. A lot of imagination is used in it. And we've all been involved in that for a long time. And so we knew the people who can make costumes and do that. And we're all a bit outspoken and up for a laugh.
What do you do?
At the moment I'm a community engagement coordinator for Her Majesty's Court Service in Leicestershire and Rutland. So I organise events for magistrates to go and engage with communities, so that we can basically promote the court service and give people greater knowledge of what they actually do.
How did you get into that?
Sheer fluke. I actually applied for a job as a PA to the area director, and at the interview they said, we haven't got another position going, and rather than advertise for that, we're going to offer it to everybody who comes for the interview, because it was the same skill set. And I didn't get the PA job, I got offered the other one.
And before that, what were you doing?
I worked in personal finance for 5 years, for City Financial, until I got made redundant and decided I wanted to do something totally different.
Before all this, where did you grow up?
We moved around quite a bit. I grew up initially in a little village called Sharnbrook in Bedfordshire until I was about 6. Then I lived in Rushden, Northamptonshire for about 4 years, and oh no, maybe only 2 years actually, and then moved to Leicester when I was about 8 or 9. Lived in Wales for 3 years, and then came back to Leicester again.
What was the reason for all the moving around?
Parents getting divorced, mainly, and remarrying and things like that. So.
What jobs did your parents do?
My dad is a toxicologist. Well, he's now a consultant toxicologist, one of the top in his field. And my mum's been all sorts of things. She's been an elocution teacher, she's worked in a bank. She's technically retired now, but she's actually a, I'm trying to think of the right description of it. She's a surrogate patient for GPs at Leicester University to help them learn bedside manner. So they get to break bad news to her and she'll react to it how she thinks a patient should actually react.
So what kind of childhood did you have?
I don't know, I've got a brother and a sister, but they're very, very much older than me, but I almost grew up on my own, and I don't know how to describe it really. It's almost in comparison to what? my mum produced a lot of pantomimes when she was living in Rushden, and actually when she was in Schoenbrook, so I think I get a lot of the dressing up and being able to pretend to be somebody else from that. I suppose I was left very much to myself. I was allowed to make my own decisions because there wasn't any worry about me. I just tend to get on with things, I suppose.
Do you see your parents much now?
I live quite close to my mum. I've not seen my dad for about 18 months, but I speak to him quite a lot. He only lives an hour away, but it's just that way, really. Everything's too busy. But yeah, I see my mum quite often.
What about your siblings? Do you see them?
I don't. Me and my sister used to fight a lot, but as I grew up, we sort of grew a bit closer, and it sounds terrible, but we talk more. We've got Facebook now, so we're more in contact. My brother likes to keep in contact with everyone, so I think I probably speak to him about once every 2 months, but we've all spread across the country, really, so.
Aside from the festivals, do you have any other hobbies?
Well, the live action role play, which takes up quite a lot of my time. I organise events for that as well, so at the moment it's 3 times a year we run, well, we run 2 weekend events and one day event for up to 150 people. We start planning those a year ahead, almost booking the sites, but it gets busier towards the dates they're actually happening. And then I help to run a faction of about 450 people at the most at the larger events that we do. So it's almost like being a redcoater at a holiday camp for that one. You're sort of the liaison between the company that run it and the people who are paying to go there. And we do that voluntarily. I say we, I do that voluntarily. There's a team of us that do it. And apart from that, I'm doing my master's by distance learning, so that takes up quite a bit of time as well. So it's finding time to actually go out and go to museums and things I want to go and see, and just trying to fit all that in.
What are you doing your Masters?
Leicester University.
And what do you say with it?
Museum Studies.
What is that entailing at the moment?
I've got an essay due in a few weeks. It's quite a broad covering course, really. It's quite good. Done everything from like the history of museums. At the moment, it's all about designing displays, learning methods, teaching methods, how people interact with things, so interactive displays. Done all about how you collect different histories and things as well, so that oral histories and documents and things like that. And I'm not sure what's coming in the next module. I should really read up on that. One thing at a time.
What led you to choose this?
It was something I wanted to do when I left university. But the way it was at the time, I needed to find a job, otherwise I wouldn't have had anywhere to live, and just sort of had to get on with it, really. And so I ended up getting into a totally different career. And when I got made redundant, I got quite a good redundancy package and thought, right, I'm going to go and do what I wanted to do. And it's led to the job I've got now, which is hopefully going to lead to the next thing and getting me more experience in the right fields rather than this 5 years of finance, which kind of helps, but isn't going to get me into a museum job anywhere.
Do you have an ideal job that you'd like to do?
I used to think I wanted to be a museum development officer, but at the moment, I've had quite a few interviews for marketing assistant jobs and marketing officers, because I seem to be quite good at that, as I found out, rather than learning it. And there's actually quite a few things going on in Leicester at the moment where there's a few creative companies setting up which will fit in nicely with the museum side, even though it's not in a museum, it's that kind of job, plus the sort of like my other experience as well.
What's Leicester like as a place to live?
I quite like it. Some people don't, for various different reasons. I like it because it's fairly compact. I'm not sure what they're doing with all the new buildings, because they've built a new shopping centre and they've built a new arts centre, and they're moving and changing things a lot at the moment, and I'm not sure some of it actually needs changing. It might just need renovating, but it's a nice city. It's fairly friendly. There's not much trouble there if you want to go out, and there's a lot to see and do, so it's quite a good place to live.
What's home life like at the moment?
Messy. we've just... August Bank Holiday was one of our largest events of the year, and my boyfriend also joins us on the live action roleplay front, and we hate unpacking the car, but it has to happen at some point, and our house isn't quite big enough to hold everything we've got in it, so there's a lot of things piled up, and yeah, it's a bit messy. It was tidy before then.
Who's your boyfriend?
My boyfriend's Al. He's a teacher in a special needs school. He teaches severely autistic children, 16 to 19 year olds. They're mostly violent, as well as with the learning disabilities. Very, very chilled out person. He's absolutely fantastic.
Where did you meet?
We actually met at one of the live action roleplay events. He was doing the same job I'm doing at the moment, about the same time I started, and we met behind the scenes basically, and just got talking. We have to go to I used to have to go to regular meetings to sort out what was going to happen and the organisational side of things, and we just sort of got together from there really.
When was this?
5 years ago. Possibly longer. I think it was 5 years in January, I think.
You mentioned the big event at the end of August. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Busy for me. It's called The Gathering, and it's run by the Lorien Trust, and we've been helping to sort of set it up and run it for a long time. For the last 6 years, I think it is, I've been involved in the volunteering side of it as well, and usually people last about 4 years. But we've kind of got to know everyone behind the scenes, and there's always the jokes about, oh, I'm not doing this again, and they're like, you'll be back, you will always be back. It's very busy, very demanding, and you get very little sleep during it, but it's worth it. There's a lot of good stuff happens there, and it's a very nice family atmosphere.
What's it like for the people who attend who aren't working at it?
They all seem to have a good time. So we do spend a lot of time with them as they're sort of packing their tents up and everything, so it's a big camping event. And it's very rarely they sort of leave and don't say thank you or goodbye. And if you go and chat with them as they're sort of packing down, they're still excited about some of the stuff they got up to, because everyone has their own little stories from it. And sometimes you'll be sat there listening to them and thinking, oh, I wish I was doing that too. You know, I was too busy doing something else or talking to somebody else, and they were off having fun, so getting into trouble most of the time.
What kind of people come to these events?
All sorts. It used to be a big university thing where university groups would form and then go to the bigger events, but they'd have their own little systems where they'd get to know each other and get new people into it, and that's how I started. And that seems to have dropped off nowadays, and there's not so many new people coming in. But I think you get families now. When I started, everyone was very young because it's still fairly new, and it's 12 years since I first started it, And now it seems to be the next generation is coming along, and people whose children are coming along, or people's friends, word of mouth, families come along. It's just such a range across the board of people who do everything and anything and all come together. It's really quite a nice experience.
What part of the country does this take place in?
The big events we do, ones that we help out at are run in Derby, a place called Locko Park in Spondon. We run events all over the country though. Our next one is only in about 4 weeks, and we're running that down in a place called Candleston in South Wales, which is actually where they filmed Lawrence of Arabia. It's got 4 miles of sand dunes and a ruined castle. It's beautiful. And sometimes we usually use scout camps because they've got good facilities. A lot of scout camps are quite happy for us using, because we usually run events over the winter rather than during the peak times, so they get a revenue from it as well. And we're pretty tidy, so we don't leave a mess.
What's going to be going on at this next event?
Well, I've just actually come from the meeting to write down essentially the idea of what we're going to do to entertain these people. We've got about 60 people who are booked to come and essentially play the game, and we'll probably have about 40 people who come and play monsters that we can dress up as whatever we want to and tell them what we want them to go and interact with the players about, and we'll run a storyline based on other stuff that's been happening throughout the year and basically see what they do. So we have to react to them as well, so we put stuff for them to interact with, see what happens, and then put something different out or go with what they're doing. You have to think on your feet quite a lot.
Have you got anyone watching you today?
Yes, I've got quite a few people from the live action roleplay lot who have come to sort of support me, and my boyfriend's parents and his sister, they've come too because they live quite local. My parents are watching on the internet. About 12 people who... they've all tried to come dressed as rats, if they can, and try and sort of fit all that in so that there's rats everywhere, because it's really good fun. You take on a different persona when you've got a mask on anyway. Sort of lose your hesitation about things and nerves. It'll all go, and then it'll just be me and a mask, and they'll be the same in the crowd. So I don't think they'll just be stood there. They might be running around people for a bit.
Is there anything you got to gain from the experience?
No, not really. I'm going to hold up a sign saying I'm unemployed after the 30th of September, but apart from that, you know, it's worth a try. But apart from that, no, it's just, I suppose it's entertainment on my part. I'm so used to having to entertain other people at these events and make sure everyone's happy that I think I just saw it as how do I entertain people for an hour, rather than what do I get out of it? It's like, what can I give to somebody else?
What would you like the people on the ground to think when they see you?
That's another difficult one, actually. They're probably going to think we're crazy. I don't know, I think maybe just to see that there's people who do different things out there and aren't afraid to show it, because nowadays there does seem to be a lot of self-conscious people out there and very conscious about how they look and what they're doing and if they're doing the right thing and what society thinks about them. But sometimes I think you just have to be a little bit silly and not care, because it's actually quite liberating.
Do you find it liberating?
I do. I like the buzz of it afterwards. I like making people smile when they're like, I saw this rat. I saw, or we've done this because I did something silly, or I set something up so that people had some fun. Running the events and getting the buzz from that is hard work. It's tiring. Sometimes it can get quite stressful when we're doing it. But at the end of the day, when everyone's coming up to you and saying what a good time they had and thank you, it's such a nice feeling. It's a bit selfish as well, I suppose, in a way, but you know, at least they're saying thank you for it.
How do you fit it in alongside work?
Time management, I suppose. I have a limit to how much I'll do. I won't let anything take over my whole evening, and I'll make sure I've always got sort of at least an hour to sit down with my feet up and watch telly or read, or you know, just do something that I want to do rather than something which is for something else. So It is just time management.
What kind of things do you like reading?
At the moment, a museum practice. I like a lot of Pratchett books. I like Neil Gaiman books. I like space fantasy, sci-fi fantasy stuff. I like a lot of historical books as well, though, on top of that. I was talking to somebody the other day about how I'd been reading books on vampires, death and burial, and it was just because I found it quite interesting and I'd picked it up, so I'd read it. But big historical characters, I tend to like to read about them, and then sometimes sit there and go, I don't think they did that.
Do you ever think about the future?
Yeah, sometimes. Different bits of it, where I could be. But sometimes you think too far ahead, you start to worry about it. And yeah, like where's the next mortgage payment going to come from? Sometimes it's like you just can't think about that. You've got to just focus on what you can do to sort things out.
You got any particular hopes or ambitions?
Oh, to be quite successful. I suppose that's everyone's ambition in a way. I've kind of got a big plan, which I don't think will happen because we're never going to get enough money to get it set up, which is to run a large campsite which is attached to a wedding reception venue, so that the wedding receptions can fund people coming to do live action roleplay events, so that we can charge them the minimum amount, because they're all not for profit, so we don't make any money off them, and finding campsites that are cheap enough to hire out can sometimes be difficult, and because I think it'd be nice to do that whole weddings, conferences. I can see money in it. There's a slightly smaller plan to try and start a coffee shop. There's a very good place to do that in Leicester, opposite De Montfort University, and it would be the perfect site for a very student-based coffee shop with very homely food, just to be a really social place. But again, it's the money to start things up. If not working for myself, I suppose just end up working in a nice relaxed office doing something I really enjoy and not having to worry about how much I'm earning, basically.
You got anything else you'd like to add?
Not really.
Good luck.
Thank you.